Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, good morning, Ben, and good morning, Hawaii, and good morning, the world, because we are streaming worldwide at radiogolfclub.com/listen. That's all you got to do. It's also a podcast there. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find it there. This is the Golf Club on the radio here, streaming live, podcast as well. And, you know, the weather, it's going to be interesting because even though things are shifting, the temperatures are not going to change at night. We're going to have on the leeward side mostly sunny this morning, partly sunny with scattered showers in the afternoon. On the windward side, partly cloudy with scattered showers, mainly in the morning. The high today, 81 degrees, 76 if you're up Mauka. And we're going to have the northeasterlies 5 to 15, fortunately, because that'll make it seem comfortable. 81 feels hot right now. The low tonight expected to be 64 degrees. It is 52 degrees at Volcano on the Big Island. Of course, if you're listening on the mainland, in Vermont, it probably sounds like we're nuts. Big deal, 52. Makalei, there's a 910 if you'd like to play a round of golf. Poipu Bay, 1040. Kapolei sold out. That's where the LPGA Lotte is going to be played next weekend. Just go over to their website, Kapolei on their website. You might find some tee times. Pearl Country Club is definitely sold out. Royal Hawaiian has a 920 and a 1052. If you're close by, there's an 830. Bayview has a 926. Makaha East, a 918. Wailea on the Emerald and the Gold Course, there's an 838. And at Maui Nui, there's an 1108. Got a great show for you this morning. We've got Parker McLaughlin. He is a short game instructor, PGA Tour champion, Punahou School. Did you realize he was a three-time state golf and volleyball champ? That's right. UCLA two-time All-Pac 10 performer. Ron Green from Global Golf Post joins us. Sandy Crowley, she's Augusta Golf Girl and, you know, a loving promoter of Augusta. What a charming little city that is. You really don't go to Washington Road. Just go straight to Augusta. And Bob Bupka, the voice of golf on Talk Sport in the UK, is with us. Plus, Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, co-writer of the Vision 54 trilogy. He is writing the annual Augusta National Golf Club book. We'll be back with Parker McLaughlin. First, we're going to thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: Dr. Carlson Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua, MD Restoration, Floods, Broken Water Pipes, 24/7 Cleanup, RCM Construction, your contractor for concrete spalling repairs. Welcome to The Golf Club Radio Show.
Good morning, good morning, good morning from Hawaii. It is Saturday, it's April 17th already, and this is the Golf Club on the radio here in the islands and streaming live around the world via radiogolfclub.com. It's also podcast there or wherever you get your podcasts. It's going to be one of those partly to mostly sunny, maybe cloudy days. On the leeward side, we'll have some scattered showers. Trades are still with us, 10 to 20 miles per hour. The high today expected to be between 79 and 84 degrees. If you're up in the heights, it'll be cooler, of course, and at the beaches around 84. And we're going to have mostly beautiful conditions. Just don't worry about the rain and enjoy what sun we're going to have. You know, at the Austrian Open today, where Martin Keimer and Alejandro Canizares were tied for the lead, and they are now as that third round ended. The European Tour took a short break in the action at about 4 o'clock Hawaii time. They paused for a moment of silence and a lot of horn blowing at the Austrian Golf Open while the procession was underway at Windsor Castle as His Royal Highness Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, was paid respect. And, of course, Prince Philip died at the age of 99 earlier this month. And that was just a very cool moment. Way up in Austria, they were remembering a very cool person who took care of his family while the Queen took care of country. So let's get into the show. We've got a great lineup for you. Ron Green is over at the RBC Heritage. He's a senior writer for Global Golf Post. He'll be joining us. Michael Patrick Shields, author and travel writer. He's doing his Sea from Shining Sea or Sea to Shining Sea tour coming from Florida to California. I don't think he's been in Michigan where he does his syndicated show in months. And so he's on his way back. He'd like to stop in Hawaii. That would be nice. Joshua Jacobs is founder and CEO of TGA Premier Sports and creator of the College Golf Experience. Gordy Walker is the PGA and general manager at Kapolei Golf Club, where the LPGA Lotte Championship is being played. And Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel analyst and commentator, he's right with us right now, and he's in the clubhouse. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Danielle. Good morning, boys. It's nice to be back in the islands after 8 weeks on the road for me.
Oh, I bet. And what a trip you had. I mean, let's start off with the Lotte. But I really want your impressions and the lessons learned at the Masters. That was an incredible tournament. And so is the Lotte. I got to ask you a couple of questions just to lay the groundwork. Why is Michelle Wee not playing?
You know, I don't really know. I haven't had a chance to talk to Michelle and didn't find out she wasn't playing until I read it in the newspaper. Clearly, she wasn't very happy with her results when she played Kia Classic and, at ANA. I don't know whether that impacted her decision or not. She can't play every week now, and, you know, they're in the middle of, I guess it's a four-week run now, so there's four tournaments in a row, so it might just have been a scheduling thing, or it might be that she wasn't ready to bring McKenna all the way out to the islands yet.
Yeah, absolutely, and then, of course, I was also surprised when we found out that we're not at Ko'olina this year, we're at Kapolei playing the LPGA Lotte Championship at Kapolei Golf Club. A great course, a lot of history there when it comes to tournaments. Do you know why the switch was made?
I don't really know. I suspect it was COVID-related. It was such a last-minute decision that Ko'olina couldn't do it that I really don't know the details of it, but it just shows me what tremendous depth we have here in Hawaii. Any other place on the mainland, if a tournament site backed out with 5 weeks to go, that would have been a real problem. But here was Kapolei right next door. And I got to say, Gordy Walker and his team at Kapolei, who were not at all ready for this, got it ready somehow in a month. They have done an incredible job at Kapolei.
They have. And you know what? We remember when we were talking about the LPGA setup? And not to make the course easier, but to make it more risk-reward, more gettable, so the women have a chance to show off those low numbers. Boy, this is exciting. We're sort of seeing that right now.
We really are, you know. And to me, I think as a golf fan, and I'm a fan myself, what I like to see is I like to see the easy holes easier, and I like to see the hard holes harder. I don't think all the holes should be easy. I think there should be a few hard ones and go ahead and make them hard. But what you really want to do, Danielle, is try and identify which player in the field is playing the best, which player deserves to win that week. And that's what Kapolei has done. And if you take a look at Lydia and Nelly Korda, those are the two players that are playing the best right now. So it's the test has been a really good one.
It is. It's fantastic. I mean, Lydia is almost dancing when you watch her on the course, and she has an interesting relationship with her caddy. He's very he has his mind set on what needs to be done, and it was interesting hearing her say, "So you want me to do this?" Is that generally how it's done between caddy and player?
No, although I will say I think it's done more like that on the LPGA than it is with the PGA Tour. You know, and we're not privy to all the conversations. We get some sound as viewers watching. But, you know, I feel like Lydia sort of bounced around for 3 years. It's been a long time since she's won a tournament, so this is a big day for her today. But she sought out so much advice from different instructors after she parted with David Ledbetter, who had helped her when she was young. And then she... And now, you know, she's basically relying more on her caddy than anybody. Sean Foley has been great for her. But I think what she's decided is once I get out there, I'm going to let the caddy manage my game for me, and I'm just going to go ahead and hit the shot.
Yeah, I really was, you know, it was interesting. I remember watching her years ago when she actually had someone set her driver up for her. So they would actually place the driver where it should be so she would just swing the club. Do you recall that?
I do recall that. And, you know, you got to remember, she got so good at such an early age. And she was very influenceable back then. And I think in some ways it worked against her a little bit because once she got lost a few years ago with her swing and she went into a pretty deep valley, kind of like a Jordan Spieth. I mean, you got to remember, Lee Ko won two majors before she was 18 years old, or while she was 18 years old, I guess. And, you know, she had this sort of Jordan Spieth aura about her, and then she just totally lost it and began searching. And that's the one thing Jordan Spieth hasn't done. He stuck with his coach. He stuck with his caddy. He owned his bad play, and he's now worked his way out of it. Lydia decided to go the other way by seeking all kinds of advice that really didn't work, and now she's got Sean Foley and a caddy that really helps, and she's back on track.
Yes, she is. And I love what she said yesterday about the 15th club in the bag is confidence. That sums it up.
Yeah, without confidence, you know, once you commit to a shot, even if it's the caddy telling you, all right, this is going to be a 5-iron shot, Lydia, and you're going to hit all of it. Hit it hard. You know, you got to hit it hard. Once you know that, you've got to have confidence that you have made the right decision. And confidence is hard when you're making swing changes. The only player that I have ever seen do that is Tiger Woods. And if you think about it, he was the greatest player in the world, Danielle, three different times with three different swing coaches and three completely different swings. But every time he had confidence that what he was doing was the right thing. They were, you know, the Hank Haney swing was totally different than the Butch Harmon swing. But both those times, Tiger thought it was the best way to do it, and he had confidence. And that's what you need.
Exactly, exactly. He had the vision. He knew what he was doing, and he was just going to go for it, regardless of what all the chatter on our side was. Didn't care. So Lydia Ko is in the lead. Yuka Saso had a terrific 64. She was at the top of the leaderboard after the first round. Nelly Korda is just creeping on up. She's, one shot behind Lydia Ko, and it's going to be exciting. This is the final round of this tournament. So everyone in, let's say, Korea, Japan can watch. That's the whole idea, isn't it, Mark?
That's the whole idea with a Saturday finish. And the other thing is, I think it's a good spot in America for the LPGA, having a finishing round on Saturday and not going heads up against the men tomorrow. Now, it's a little different. You can do it in Hawaii because of the primetime time difference. But I got to tell you, as good as Lydia is playing right now, I've got my eye on Nelly Korda.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She is out ready to break out. She is ready to break out and become a true superstar on the LPGA. And I think when the day is done today, it's going to be Nelly Korda at Copa Lake.
I see where you're going. I mean, I'm with you. Lexi Thompson, Siyoung Kim, Hyuju Kim, Inbi Park, Brooke Henderson, So-Yung Ru, Inako Shibuna, one of the three Japanese golfers to win a major on the top tours, including, of course, Hideki Matsuyama, just won the Masters. Amazing. Danielle Kang, this is a stacked field. I don't remember us having quite this many of the top players in the world being here. Is this the Olympics? Are we going for points for a Solheim Cup?
I think so, and I also think it shows how much the players really love Hawaii. You know, if Michelle Wee had been in this field, we would say it was the greatest field in the history of the tournament, any ladies' tournament in Hawaii, and it's darn near close because you got 9 of the top 10 in the LPGA. It's a phenomenal field. You take a look at some of the scores that these players are shooting. Lexi Thompson, I talked to the other day, she just can't believe how low these scores are going. Everybody thought you know, when they first looked at Kapolei, oh, well, there's some trouble out there. And, you know, maybe 15 or 16 under par would win the tournament. But that's not going to be the case at all. You shoot 15 or 16 under, you're going to be in the middle of the pack.
Yes, you're right. There are so many 63s. Just go 64. I mean, it's just marvelous to watch. A great pairing here of caddy and player is Tad Fuchikawa caddying for Bianna Du.
Yeah, I'm so glad to see Tad back out there. You know, he hasn't had the smoothest of rides over the last few years with his career and his personal life. And he is just such an asset to the game. He was always the jolly kid that from Moanalua that I loved watching play. And I remember going to school with Tad on the day after he had made the cut and finished really well at the Sony Open. I went to school with him on Monday and shot a feature for my Golf Hawaii show back then. And I love the vibrance and sort of the juvenile innocence of Tad Fuchikawa, but I also just was totally enthralled with his golfing talent. And we don't get a chance to see that so much anymore. I hope he continues playing and sort of pursuing his dream, but if not, just being in and around the game, I think, is always a good thing when you've got Tad Fuchikawa involved.
Yes, and also a big shout-out to Hawaii's Kyung Kim. She made the cut. She shot a 69. That was a career low for Kim. Awesome. 69, 72, 71. Really great to see our young lady make the cut. Interesting miscut is Aria Chutanagarn. I don't understand. She's another one. She's another Lydia Ko, Jordan Spieth. Kind of, you know, Lydia was number one in the world. It was, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah. Aria's a hard one to figure out for me. Reminds me of a little bit of Michelle Wee in that she was so good and such a natural talent. I'm not really sure that Aria knew what caused her to be so good. But all I remember is there were only a few players on the LPGA range that when you walked by them, you stopped. And it wasn't so much because of what you saw in terms of their swing or the balls they were hitting, but it was in terms of what you heard. Mm. You could hear Aria Chutanagarn's ball strikes from the other end of the range. It was the same thing as Michelle Wee. She's lost that now, Aria has. She doesn't have that same pop in her swing. And what was a tremendous strength for her, her length, no longer is. And in fact, her older sister, who's her little sister, basically, Moria, is now, I think, a better player than Aria. It's amazing how far she has fallen.
Yeah. It's like she's lost her passion. And that's really tough when you go through that period in your life when you're really into something and then you're not sure you want to be into it. Alexi Thompson kind of went through a period like that where she didn't know if she wanted to do this golf thing. She's always done this golf thing. Do I really want to, you know, and it's, you've really just got to swim and keep your head above water and just keep going and see how you are when you come out on the other side. And that's really all you can do. It's a natural.
That's true. And I think it's hard for the star players like Lexi. And Aria, when you have, you know, a number of incidents that occur, not just poor play, but, you know, Lexi had the big rules incident in the desert at the first major of the year a few years ago. That was devastating for her. She's had two or three of those, and so has Aria, frankly. And those have taken a big toll, I think, on both those players. Now, Lexi, I'm not nearly as concerned about. For Lexi, it's all about putting. When she puts well, She's going to be a threat in any tournament she plays in because she hits it so good and so far. But her putting, you know, kind of tends to fluctuate. So that's the key for Lexi.
Excellent. Well, we're going to watch today. It's primetime golf on the East Coast. It's just absolutely wonderful. It starts at 1 o'clock on Golf Channel. And you really got to watch because these women are putting on a show at Kapolei Golf Club. It's absolutely fabulous. So, switching over.
We're not there, though. Danielle, how about it? Let's make a deal right now.
Okay.
Next year.
Yes.
Forget this COVID protocol. We are going to be At Lotte, I mean, both of us, you're in your studio, I'm on Maui, we both should be there, but with the COVID restrictions and everything else going on, here we are talking on the radio instead of being out there.
I know, it's weird. It's been weird. It's this whole thing is weird. Not being at Sony, not being at Century, not being, you know, at Lotte, it's like, meh. But, you know, I all due respect, they've got to keep everybody tight, and goodness knows I don't want anybody to come down with this bug and put them out of action. It's just, I talk about getting in your head. That would be awful. So we do what we do to just keep on keeping on. And the lessons from the Masters. Okay, what a tournament. Watching Hideki Matsuyama, he said he was nervous from the first tee in the final round. And I can't even imagine. Playing for my country, playing after 10 years being low amateur, playing my way in, winning the Asia Amateur Cup, you know, the first one ever, being the man, and every time coming so close, and this time actually closing it, just and showing us, losing a little bit, coming really close. Tell us how you were when you were there watching all this.
Well, I said on Golf Channel Sunday morning before Matsuyama teed off on the pregame show, I said that I thought there was more pressure on Matsuyama to win that day than maybe I had ever seen on any player in any situation. I don't think any of us could imagine what it's like to have the weight of a country on your shoulders, especially a golf country like Japan, and especially in a year like Japan is going to have, having the Olympics and having golf back in the Olympics. There was just so much pressure. And if you remember, back in 2017, Matsuyama had a chance to win the PGA Championship. Justin Thomas ended up winning it down in North Carolina, but it was Matsuyama's at one point, and he kind of let it get away, and he didn't perform under the pressure down the stretch. And that had a real impact on Hideki. He was not the same for a couple of years, I felt like, after that, because he just had this feeling he had let his country down. He didn't care nearly as much about himself as having let down his country. And this time he didn't. And it's just going to do so much for golf worldwide, and especially golf in the Olympics. I wouldn't be surprised to see Matsuyama, you know, carry that torch into the stadium for crying out loud.
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you mean. And I got to congratulate Golf Channel's live from the Masters coverage. Most watched daily preview show of any network during Masters week. Viewership for the full Masters week up 46% from 2020, on par, of course, with 2019. And that had Tiger Woods' historic victory. Congratulations to you and the entire on-camera crew and behind-the-scenes crew. Those were terrific shows. When I couldn't watch... Yes.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's even more amazing, Danielle. We were really worried this year because for the first time, ESPN decided to do preview shows at the Masters. They had never really done them. And, of course, on Wednesday, there was no par three contest this year, so they had a big open time slot. They went heads up against us. Their show was on in the exact same time slot as my shows that I was doing on Golf Channel. And the advantage that they had over us is they have the rights to the Masters on Thursday and Friday. So they are able to use footage from the Masters that we don't, and they are able to go to live shots of players out on the course actually playing during their show. We couldn't do either one of those. So basically, we were sitting around talking while they were showing Masters stuff, and we still smoked them. So, I'm pretty happy about that. And I know our management's dancing in the street.
Yes, I bet they are. It is just really, really great. I was thrilled, and congratulations again. But, you know, when you talk about Matsuyama being so impacted by the state of his game and his performance and the scores and whether or not he wins, he takes a lot of guff from the media in Japan. And they're not easy on you if you don't perform at the expectation that, you know, they get so disappointed when something doesn't go the player's way. There's not a lot of empathy I would say. So,
no, there's not. And, you know, unlike America, his media contingent follows him everywhere. I mean, if he goes to the restroom during a round of golf, they'll all go over there and wait outside to see how long he's in there. And if he's in there too long, then something must have gone wrong. I don't know. It's just constant pressure for him. And I think he has dealt with it well over his career, but there's no doubt it's affected his performance. They always got to find something wrong with what he's doing if he's not winning. And I think the Japanese media tends to forget that it's hard to win in golf. It's harder to win in golf than any other sport. The winning percentage of the best players in the world is still only about 3%. I mean, you know, you play 100 tournaments, you're only going to win 3 or 4 of them. You know, that's not a very high percentage. And in Japan, you know, they think that if you don't win, it's basically a loss. And that's not always the case.
No, it's not. Okay, we were really easy on Jordan Spieth. If, you know, if the media treated Jordan Spieth during the last 3 years the way they treat Matsuyama in Japan, he'd probably be a broken man at this point. Now, Spieth says he's getting close. What do you see?
I think he's really close. If I were Spieth, I'd be saying I'm all the way back. And that's one of the things that I like about him. He's not ready to admit that yet. He doesn't think he is all the way back. And I don't believe he thinks he will be until he wins a major. That is the level that he wants to be. He wanted to win the Masters. He thought he could going into it. He didn't. But he played pretty darn well there, I will tell you. I would not be surprised at all to see Spieth snag one of the next 3 majors as we get in the year. You know, Kiawah Island is going to be an interesting major for the PGA. It's a windy coastal course down in South Carolina. You know, they're playing in May, which is even windier than when they would typically play in August for the PGA. And so it's going to be very much a scrambler. Short game is going to be on full display. So I really like the Jordan Spieth kind of player at Kiawah here in a month. I like Patrick Reed, that kind of player.
Yes. Well, you're going to have to be on before all that happens. And we also learned how to pronounce the last name Zalatoris. And that young man has an interesting putting stroke that reminds me of someone. I was watching him putt, and there's just this confidence in his stroke, confidence in his game that belies his years.
Yeah, you know, I was on the Bobby Curran show, I think it was a couple of months ago. Oh, I'll tell you what it was. It was right before the Players. And he and I kind of have this tradition because he thinks I have this crystal ball where I can pull a name out of the hat, you know, that nobody's ever heard of. And it's sort of Mark says, keep your eye on.
Yes.
And so he goes, give me one of those. I said, keep your eye on Will Zalatoris. And he said, who? I said, Will Zalatoris. This kid is really good. People don't know who he is because he doesn't even have status on the PGA Tour. But he is really good, and you're going to start hearing his name a lot. And I nailed that one, that's for sure.
You nailed that one. All right, Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel analyst and commentator, thank you so much. It's so good to talk with you.
Take care, Danielle. We'll do it again before the PGA.
Excellent. Let's bring in a PGA right now. Gordy Walker, PGA General Manager of Kapolei Golf Club. Welcome into the clubhouse, Gordy.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks so much for having me and Kapolei Golf Club on the show.
Oh, absolutely. You need to be on again sometime. You know, I've got to ask you, when, why, what, and, you know, how did you pull all this off? I mean, first of all, you know, all of a sudden, it's not at Ko'olina, it's at Kapolei, and you've got 5 weeks to get ready. Wow. When did you get word?
Yeah, it came on very fast, and, you know, we're going into the last day of the event, so it's going very fast as well. But, we got word in March, early March, maybe late February, that there was a possibility that that the event might not happen at Ko'olina, and we were approached by it. And so, yeah, it was a fast, it's been a lot of work over the last, you know, 2 months to get up and running, but it was a great opportunity for us and we seized it, and it's been fun so far.
Yeah, it's absolutely stellar. Mark Rolfing and I were talking at the top of the show about what a fabulous condition Kapolei Golf Club is in and how beautiful it looks on television and how much fun the players are having. It's, you know, we've always talked about setup and highlighting, showcasing the women's game so that, you know, setup will make not the course easier, but show the girls the risk reward and being able to really score. And we're seeing that right now. This is making this particular tournament exceptionally exciting. And, of course, the field is tremendous. Who's helping with the setup? Who's doing this?
Yeah. So I've got some really cool fast facts that I'll throw out for you in a minute here about the event and some of the statistics. But certainly we got to thank the sponsor, Lotte, for, you know, choosing to bring the event to Kapolei Golf Club and, you know, generously sponsoring the event and showcasing golf in Hawaii. The tour, obviously, for creating a safe and organized, you know, tournament for everybody that's here this year. All of the volunteers, as you know, Danielle, there's hundreds of volunteers that come out to support this thing. So we're grateful for their tireless time, effort, and support. All the employees of Kapolei Golf Club who really came together, you know, in the last couple of months to put this event on. Government agencies, I mean, of course, you know, just allowing us to have an event of this nature and scope is really appreciative on our part and for Hawaii. And finally, for our ownership, for, you know, green lighting this event. I mean, it was a big deal when it was, you know, presented to them and they were excited to do it. And we're, you know, everybody's grateful for the ownership for this. But it's, you know, it's been a lot of work, but we were there. We were already there. I mean, the turf grass was in pretty good shape coming into this event. That's one thing we did last year throughout 2020 is, you know, Kapolei is a high-end, you know, daily fee property. Right, but it looks more like a resort. If you've been to Kapolei, you say this feels more like a resort because great turf grass, great layout, has had PGA Tour and Women's Tour events before, so it's got the reputation, nice clubhouse amenities, phenomenal service. So it's a real high-end property. So we were kind of there, and we kept it that way all last year, even through the pandemic situation. So while it was not easy to get it done, we were able to kind of flip the switch and tune it up and get it to tour standards. And it's been really exciting and everybody's been really happy.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the LPGA Tour's Ladies Hawaiian Open was played at Kapolei from 96 to 2001. I went to many PGA championships, the PGA Champions yep. Tour, the Pacific Links Championship. Y'all remember that was in 2012, 2013, 2014. When Lanny yep. Watkins said, the golf course never been in better condition. Players talk about great conditions every week. This must be exceptional because they have all, to a man, talked about how wonderful these greens are. And they're as yep. pure as they've ever seen them. And Vijay Singh said they're best condition greens he's seen all year, including everything on the yep. PGA Tour. So, yes, Kapolei Golf Club is absolutely fabulous, and it's always been yeah. that way. You've always kept the standards very high. Your members, the players, your regulars, are they out there assisting as volunteers? They must be thrilled that this is happening.
Sure, yeah. So we've got a lot of the volunteers that are obviously all local resident Kamaaina folks who are coming out, and they've helped in years past in other events. So they're here. They're really excited. And it's interesting because there's really no spectators on the golf course due to the COVID-19 situation. So it's. I was on the golf course yesterday and watching the final group with Ko and Sasso. And it's different, certainly not having the cheers when the players make birdies and all that stuff. But it's also kind of fun, kind of nice when you're there. So you see a few volunteers around and the players. But it's been awesome. So regarding conditions and scoring and all that stuff, Round three played had the lowest stroke average over the field. It was 68.3. The stroke average for the tournament is 70.2. There's been just under 1,500 birdies made. So it's a testament to the pureness of the greens. And the greens are not super, super fast. They're about round 11, rolling around 11, but they're true. So if you're putting good and you can find your line, boom, yeah. you're going to make putts. And so that's what we're seeing right now with some of the gals that are playing really well. They're just making a lot of putts.
Yeah, they're making a lot of putts, and they're putting on a great show. I mean, this is really showcasing the level. Lydia Ko at 21 under. Nelly Korda just a shot back at 20 under. Yuka Saso, mm-hmm. you know, at 17 under. All of this is on Golf Channel at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You're going to be able to watch it. It's going to be kind of rainy today. Of course, you know, golfers are ducks, so they don't mind. They go out under just about any conditions. Leona McGuire, Amy Yang, Lexi Thompson, Siyoung Kim, Hyuju Kim, Wei Ling Su, all of these great performers. I mean, I'm seeing 63s and 64s and 65s. It's really something to watch. And don't men, as a PGA, Gordy, this is Gordy Walker, PGA General Manager at Kapolei Golf Club. And, of course, this is where the LPGA Lotte Championship is being played this week. And this is the final round so that it can be televised in our Asian countries so that everybody can see some of the international players, you know, from Korea, from Japan, playing, you know, those are all their families get to see it. So it's really wonderful. That's why it's played the last round on Saturday. So for the Correct. Setup, who does the setup for you?
The course setup, well, it's done by the LPGA Tour. The LPGA Tour has a team that comes in. They have an advanced rules official that comes in a week before the event. They go out and they assess the golf course and the conditioning and all of that. They start looking at pin positions. They set up the tee locations. And that's really important. Tee locations becomes very important because it dictates how long the golf course will play. And as an example, yesterday, you know, they set up the seventh hole with the tees a little farther forward. But the wind shifted in the morning, and we got a westerly wind, which is very unique and different. We don't get that very often. Typically, it's a trade wind coming out of the northeast. So we get this westerly. Well, the westerly puts the seventh hole downwind. It's a par five, about 500 yards. So the girls are hitting, you know, driver and mid iron into it. So as a result, yesterday, the seventh hole was the easiest hole on the golf course for the ladies. I was talking to one of the rules officials, Mitch, about it. And he's like, you know, we set that thing up and the wind shifted just after we set it up. There's nothing they could do about it. Once the course is set, it's set. But yeah, advanced rules official comes in the week before, sets it up, marks the golf course, with all of the hazard markings and all that stuff. And it's quite a laborious a task for Missy. Missy Jones is the rules official that came out. And then they have a team of four other rules officials that come out, and they do the daily setup and make adjustments based on weather, wind, rain, moisture levels, all that stuff. You get the course, you know, playable for the women.
Yes, getting playable for the women. Well, they're definitely playing. Say hi to Missy Jones for me.
I definitely will.
Great lady. Will, she's yeah. been on the show before. This is good. So
she's wonderful.
How many hats are you wearing?
Well, yeah, I mean, once the show starts, I can kind of step back because there's a lot of people involved, and we've got a great team at our club, all of our employees with our own superintendent, head professional, and food and beverage and all that. So I wear a lot of different hats every day of the year. it's just, you know, it's been a lot of fun. It's exciting. And we're just looking forward to continuing to move forward. And today's the last day. And right now there's not a hint of wind in the air. So we'll see what happens. I think the scoring is going to be really, really good today as well.
Yeah. Gordy Walker, PGA General Manager at Kapolei Golf Club. We used to call you regularly to get tee times that were available for folks who listen so they could go play. But right now it's all booked online, right?
Everything, yeah. So during the pandemic, we went to an online booking, and we've been very successful with that with all of our local Kamaaina residents and even the visitors now that are coming back. They're booking online, and it's been worked out really smoothly. It's been good, yes.
So just go – what is the website they go to book at Kapolei Golf Club?
KapoleiGolf.com. They can go to KapoleiGolf.com and just click on the booking, book tee time, and it'll take you right to it. It's very simple and easy to book.
There you go. Gordy Walker, PGA General Manager at Kapolei Golf Club. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Talk to you soon.
Yes. Aloha. We're going to come back with Joshua Jacobs, founder and CEO, TGA Premier Sports. It stands for Teach, Grow, Achieve. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Golf club tip number 25. Play for fun. Life's too short. Now back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
Have you discovered Global Golf Post yet? Global Golf Post is the leading golf news publication in the game. It is a digital magazine. It's published very early Monday morning, delivered to your email inbox before you wake up. And in the pages of Global Golf Post, you will find all the news from the pro tours from the weekend, plus opinion and commentary from many of the best writers covering the game today. You can also read about the latest golf gear from the leading golf equipment brands. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii to sign up for your free subscription. You'll become the most informed golfer in your regular foursome. Go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii. Do it today.
What do sprawling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Stop the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction 864-9520 now.
When Hilton Hawaiian Village opened in 1955, who made their signs? Honolulu Sign. They do building marquees and lighted signs, letter signs, parking and tow-away signs of every kind. Honolulu Sign has OSHA compliance signs, makes custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047, licensed and insured, COVID compliant, and they have all the PPE signs you need. Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten.
Seals Electric.
Call 847-4047.
Seals Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping and commercial centers, city and county projects. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. Update your facilities with the next generation of cost-saving products. We're COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. That's 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Seals Electric lights the way.
Want more customers? Renovating high-rises, whatever your trade. Fill your restaurants, buy your cars, use your realty company. Buy insurance, air condition their offices. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have quality listeners like yourself. We have ad packages that start at a few hundred dollars. Email your contact info to rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers, too.
Joshua Jacobs, founder and CEO, TGA Premier Sports. He created the College Golf Experience, and you can find more about that at collegegolfx.com. But TGA Sports, Teach, Grow, Achieve. That's what TGA stands for. Joshua Jacobs, welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, how are you?
Good, good. And I like this. We help young players, boys and girls, 3 to 15, develop a passion for playing and provide a pathway to explore, develop, and achieve through sports. When did you create this?
It's been going on since 2003 now. It's been quite a ride for us. We started in 2003 in the LA area, and then we branched out nationally in 2007. And we're pretty proud to announce that we will probably hit our millionth kid here in the middle of 2022.
Wow! And you know, this is cheerleading, flag football, floor hockey, premier golf, lacrosse, premier tennis, volleyball, and what's ultimate?
it's ultimate frisbee. So it's a pretty fast-growing collegiate sport. It's actually being looked at to enter the Olympic Games as well. But for us, I think we are primarily concentrated on golf and tennis. That's really where the business is at.
So when you say teach, grow, achieve, we're teaching the skills. What else? Tell us.
Well, we're kind of the base of the pyramid in the player pathway. We're 70% of our kids and their families have never played golf before. So we're the ones who are, you know, growing the sport, growing participation, getting new people into this game, and we do it in a unique way by bringing it to schools, community centers, churches, temples, golf courses, anywhere that there is space, we have curriculum that can run a program at. I say that only because the business started in L.A. in 2003, and I had 17 kids sign up in a hallway to learn golf, and I kind of figured, okay, if we're doing that in L.A., then I feel like there's going to be great demand to learn the sport all over the country.
Where were you going to play golf? Not in the hallway, right?
No, it was. We actually set up a class with 17 kids in a hallway. Granted, it was an outdoor hallway, but it was a hallway nonetheless. And it worked great. I mean, I think golf has a tremendous opportunity to make itself available and accessible to people. In a lot of ways, I think the industry needs to concentrate a little bit more on bringing it to people rather than people bringing themselves to golf. I mean, for so long, golf sat back and you know, waited for people to come to golf courses. That was really the key way that the sport grew. It was kind of reactive instead of proactive. So I like to say that, you know, our franchises around the country are being proactive in growing the sport.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, golfers are like, don't come to my golf course because I want it to be it's my golf course.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta start somewhere, right? And that's another you know, challenge that I think the industry's done a great job of tackling over the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, COVID's given us a great spike.
Oh, but yes.
I think the industry has done a really nice job in the last, you know, 2 to 3 years in terms of being more inviting to new golfers, to all golfers of all kinds, and in all levels. It's fantastic how far we've come.
Yes, it is. And kudos to the veterans who are so much more embracing of the youngsters coming into the fold. You know,
yes.
I mean, truly, you know, it's great. It takes everybody working together to grow the game and to keep it thriving. And so you have after school sessions, you've got camps, and you do private lessons and youth clinics and sports and sports themed parties is what I wanted to say. But you've also started something that is really beneficial for kids. You know, you hear the word college. You're going to go to college. And what does that mean? You know, you got to take a child onto a college campus so they kind of get the sense of what a college is. Not that you can, you know, then maybe rush them around from class to class to class so they understand that there's nobody going to be helping you. And you've got the college golf experience for youngsters who are interested in going to college, playing the game, and you've created an environment where they can actually get a sense that this is the way it's going to be. Is that how it is?
Yeah, for us, you know, at CGE, we're all about creating unique and transformational opportunities for junior golfers at all stages of development. And certainly there's an emphasis on the aspiring collegiate student athletes. These college coaches, there's so much opportunity for them to give back to all levels of junior golf, instill confidence, show them where they can take their game, and be mentors to them. And I don't really believe that there's a great opportunity for junior golfers to engage with college coaches. If you think about it, most college coaches you find at tournaments if they're recruiting kids or et cetera. But coaches are not allowed to engage with juniors or their families at tournaments. And so the one place in which coaches can engage with junior players and their families is at camps. And so I think it's a great opportunity to derive value for coaches. Number one, they get to see better recruits. They get to, you know, derive revenue for themselves and their program. And then for these kids, it gives them exposure to these coaches that to me is going to be invaluable in the future.
Absolutely. And just the process of getting to meet them, saying hello and engaging in a conversation, something that, you know, a lot of kids are not necessarily comfortable with. This is Joshua Jacobs, founder and CEO of TGA Premier Sports, and he's created the College Golf Experience. It is, you have like single day, 2 day, 3 day experiences?
Yeah, so we're just getting started. The NCAA announced 2 days ago on Thursday that recruiting can come back and camps can start June 1. So we're really excited about that. And there's really three camps that we're going to cue in on. Institutional camps where, you know, a single college or university wants to run camps at their location. Showcase camps that are in partnership with tournaments and in unique places across the country. And then conference camps. We're looking at creating regional camps for coaches to congregate with a significant number of juniors. I'm excited to say that we will have our first launch camp. Will be a showcase camp in Palm Desert at the Classic Club. It's going to be June 11 and 12, I believe. There'll be more information on our website, but we already have three of the top 25 coaches already committed. The field is only limited to 60 players, and we're really excited about it.
And you've also been endorsed by the Golf Coaches Association of America. That's huge.
Yeah, we were very fortunate to work with Greg Grost and his team on this to derive value for the coaches. You know, the majority of coaches, they're just incredibly busy, and they don't have a ton of time, and it takes a lot of time to run camps and to do the little administrative details that go into it and handle the marketing. And so, you know, we created a wonderful partnership endorsement that could take that off of the coaches' plates and let them do what they do best, and that is build value for these juniors through interactions with them. And for us, in addition to that, it's not just these one-off camps. What we're looking to do is actually create the first camp pathway where we'll have culmination events in addition to the three events that I just spoke about. So kids, if they go to juniors, if they go to one camp, we'll have that up to future camps with invites that the industry has never done before. So we're excited to kind of transform and kind of shift the paradigm with camps, and we're really excited.
Yeah, and I understand why. But in addition to the experience with the coaches, you're showing the children, and I'll always call them children because they're, you know, as a parent, they're your child. the college golfer's weekly routine. That's what I think is so vital and so important for a young person to go into a whole new environment and have some sense that I know what's going to happen, kind of. I have a format. And so,
yep.
Right? So they explore the college golfer weekly routine, help with formatting of the communication to the college coaches. I imagine tell us what that is.
Well, you know, all of our programs are going to cater for every stage of a junior golfer's development, whether they're a top recruit or whether they are 10 or 11 years old and are looking for an experience that's going to be transformational in their progress. We're going to include instruction, and we're going to have education seminars, some of them that you just mentioned. And as you said, it can be daunting and it can be scary, the recruiting process. And I myself played collegiate golf at Emory University in Atlanta. My parents didn't play, and so they really did not have any of the wherewithal, to be honest, of what the recruiting process was like and how to get in front of college coaches and how to build your personal brand. And so for us, we want to provide some of those educational seminars, such as, you know, what it takes to play golf at the collegiate level, a day in the life of a college golfer, as you mentioned before, and learning how to formulate communications to these coaches.
Yep.
And it's going to be vital to a junior golfer's career to be able to do that. And the other thing that we really want to ensures that the parents get to be involved in there, whether they're physically there or virtually there. And obviously we've gone to a virtual world, but we want to make sure that the parents can also be part of the Q&A discussions and hear the seminars and be part of it. Because if they don't play and their junior golfer is showing tremendous aptitude, then it's going to be important for them to have that education as well.
Absolutely. It's fabulous. Setting goals, showing them what it takes to play golf at the collegiate level. Let them know what the coaches are looking for in collegiate players. All of these, how to separate yourself from the other recruits when contacting college coaches. You know, it all of these are inside tips. Joshua Jacobs, founder and CEO, TGA Premier Sports, and he's created this college golf experience. You can go to collegegolfx.com to find out more. Teach, grow, achieve. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Have a great weekend.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. Michael Patrick Shields from Sea to Shining Sea. Traveling from Florida, I think he's just avoiding going back to the winter of Michigan. We'll be back with Michael Patrick after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
What do spalling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks, stopped the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction, 864-9520 now.
Have you discovered Global Golf Post yet? Global Golf Post is the leading golf news publication in the game. It is a digital magazine. It's published very early Monday morning, delivered to your email inbox before you wake up. And in the pages of Global Golf Post, you will find all the news from the pro tours from the weekend, plus opinion and commentary from writers covering the game today. You can also read about the latest golf gear from the leading golf equipment brands. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii to sign up for your free subscription. You'll become the most informed golfer in your regular foursome. Go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii. Do it today.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire, travel writer, hosts Michigan's Big Show, Sea to Shining Sea. Michael Patrick, I was wondering, are you just trying to not go back to Michigan until the sun comes out?
Aloha from the American West, Danielle, and I will never confess to that, but I will say that yes. 2 weeks ago, when you and I spoke, I was in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Atlantic Ocean, where I-10 started. That was two Saturdays ago, and right now I am, at this moment, closing in on the Pacific, just about 30 miles outside San Diego, and in the golf world, that means I'm in between the Westin Kierland Resort in Scottsdale and the Grand Del Mar in San Diego in the golf world, if you want to
You know,
want to follow the golf map.
Life's difficult when you're Michael Patrick Shields. You just go to these fabulous resort destinations. You cruise, you eat, you have a little drinky, and you play a little golfy, and you explore, and you have fun, and you write, you do your show. Why are you going home? There's so much, you know, that you have to take care of when you're home.
Well, you know, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, wow, I always wanted to drive across America.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, now's the time to do it. And it has not disappointed me. Around every bend and every turn, has been something to enlighten me and inspire me, and it's been really cool, and it's not over yet. We have ways to go yet before we get to the other end of I-10 at the Santa Monica Pier, and then we're going to see what happens next, but yes. That's just sort of what we're going to plan right now.
Good.
But, you know, but I thought of you many times along the way because my stops were Biloxi, Mississippi, where Fallen Oak Golf Club is, and that's where a Champions Tour event is held, a very, very fine Tom Fazio course. And after that, I went into New Orleans. And sure, you can play golf there if you want to. The tour used to play there, and they still do. But the reason I thought of you and Hawaii is it was a surprise to me that the National World War II Museum is in New Orleans. It's not in Washington, D.C., and it's there. And it is a massive, it's a college-sized complex of buildings. And right across the street, they've opened a brand-new hotel called the Higgins. And it's attached, and it is themed around the Second World War. And they need a hotel because it takes more than a day to go through the interactive exhibits that they've created there. And it was magnificent. And you might say, well, why is the National World War II Museum in New Orleans?
Yes.
And why is the hotel called the Higgins? Well, the reason is there was a man in New Orleans named Higgins who made a couple of boats every year. That was his little company. And when the war started, he invented and manufactured the Higgins boat, which is the landing craft that you see in the opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Very useful in the Pacific, very useful in the D-Day invasion.
Yes.
And Eisenhower said it was Higgins that won the war for us. He at one point had tens of thousands of people working for him in the war effort to create these boats. And having started just a tiny little company in New Orleans. And so that's why the museum is there, and that's why this really, really stylish and themed hotel called the Higgins is right there, too.
That's, you know, we learn so much through you, Michael Patrick. For all the kidding I do, it's fantastic. How did you find out about this? Did you know in advance, or did you really stumble on it?
Well, no, I didn't know in advance, but that's what happens when you go on the road. You know, you start to look at what are you going to do, and you start to use the resources that are available, and then you have people along the way who are happy to show these things to
yes.
you. And believe me, they you know, the stories that they told me there, Mark Becker at the Higgins Hotel, of a Second World War veteran coming into that hotel and into that museum and able to stand at the helm of a Higgins boat again after all these years. It's just absolutely haunting.
Wow. No, that's sweet. I have tears. I can see tears. That's really something. So, liven it up again. The Weston Kierlin, did you watch the, did you have somebody serenade you in the morning with the bagpipes?
Well, be doing my broadcast every day as I have been. I was up pretty early there. It was a 3 a.m. start. So bagpipes at 3 a.m., I think, did probably be offensive to people. But in the evening, it's much nicer. And that was a really cool spot. And you know, the stretch from Houston to San Antonio and San Antonio to El Paso and El Paso to Phoenix, where the Weston Kierlin is, was really interesting, and it makes me think about crossing an ocean when you go across Texas, because one of the things I was told at the Houstonian Hotel was George Bush's chief of staff joined me on air for an interview there because the Bushes lived in that hotel, to speak of the Second World War, by the way. But she said, when you're going across and you're going to San Antonio and you're going on to El Paso, make sure that your gas tank never gets below half,
mm-hmm.
because there are vast stretches of Texas where there is not a gas station.
Yes.
And so, you know, it was a little sense of adventure that you know, maybe you don't get by flying over these states. And and I, you know, I'm given to hyperbole and I'm given to delusions of grandeur, but it felt like an adult adventure to do this.
Yes, I drove as a child the Texas Panhandle. It goes on forever and ever and ever, and there is nothing that looks even close to civilization anywhere. Okay. Yes. But you are going to one of the most exquisite hotels. I had the luxury of staying there in a fabulous suite. It was way too big for this single person. I was by myself. And the Grand Del Mar is absolutely, with its own heliport, it's beautiful.
Yeah, the Fairmont Grand Del Mar, just a little bit north of La Jolla in San Diego. And at one point, and I think it's still true, they are five-star across three categories, the spa, the restaurant, and the resort.
Yes.
And then you put the golf course on top of that. You probably saw with the scenic vistas and the ability there to really just, you know, be in the luxury and America's finest climate. They call it America's finest city, San Diego. So I'm glad that you were there. Any tips for me? Because I'll arrive there in about an hour and a half.
Just enjoy. I mean, it's something. It'll make you want to never go home. That's the problem with that hotel.
Only the tab could cause that.
Don't even think about that part. That would be very difficult. So the last time we talked to you, you were at the Mission Inn Resort and Club, and that's where the LPGA Mission Inn Resort and Club Championship is going to be played in May. I think this is great. You're taking us to golf, and now who are you meeting up with this afternoon in the golf world?
I'll be meeting with Sean Cox. He actually won the national championship as a football player for the Washington Huskies and then became a longtime golf professional and teacher, specializing in teaching. And so I'll be interested to see what he has to say. And when you think about this stretch that included Mission Inn, as you talked about there, I also got to TPC Sawgrass.
Oh, yes.
Had a look at that. And so we did literally go sea to shining sea, or if you want, in the golf parlance, water hazard to water hazard in Florida and California. And then, who knows, the big water hazard of the Pacific Ocean might just add a swing. And we'll see about that. But I have my eyes on a place called the Royal Hawaiian, which I think, you know, speaking of history and the Second World War and glamour, I think I might just add that on. So I'll let you know.
Oh, that would be so wonderful if you were here on Oahu at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel, speaking to the entire country on how many stations do you broadcast on?
Somewhere under 4,000. We're not sure how far under 4,000, but somewhere under 4,000.
That is so well done. You're such a promotions man.
It's 13 stations, but to the point that you make, you know, we think of America as very homogenized sometimes, that you can stay in the same hotel in every city, you can eat in the same restaurant in every city and watch the same things, whatever. But when you drive across, you do see the blend of culture and terrain that makes our states individual. And so if you were to take, for instance, a trip like I did from Florida into California here, you would have seen quite a wide variety of cuisines and even accents. And so to put Hawaii on with it is once again, the kingdom as it was at one time has a different culture too. So I'm keen to do that. The Chevrolet will not be making the trip. I will not be able to drive to Hawaii, but I'll try to get there. So, by air.
Tell me, did you really drive across country in a Chevrolet?
Yeah, I saw the U.S.
Yes.
In a Chevrolet.
Oh, my goodness. There are some jingles that just never leave you. It's just...
It is. It's an Equinox, and I'm sitting in it right now.
Oh, my goodness. And say hi to Sean Cox. Really great guy.
I will.
Yes, really great guy. He might remember me. Hawaii tends to do that. You know, if you say Danielle from Hawaii, you know, Danielle was staying here, but it was years ago, so he may have forgotten. But it's beautiful. You will love the facilities that they have, the golf facilities that they have, and just the decor. You walk down the hallways of the Grand Del Mar. I'm just going to call it the Grand Del Mar. You just walk through the hallways. You want to stop at every picture, every painting, it's like being in this fantastic modern art and yet not modern. It's everything all wrapped into one. it's really cool that you're going there, Michael Patrick. You and your beautiful lady are going to have an absolutely fabulous time.
Wait a minute. What lady?
Oh, what lady? I don't know. I saw her in a picture.
Is there something I don't know about? I thought I saw her in a picture
somewhere putting decorations on a tree. Maybe that's just my. I don't know.
I haven't seen anything but palm trees in a long time, so I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Michael,
but, you know, maybe you're foreshadowing something. Yeah, who knows?
Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire, travel writer. You can find him at TravelTattler.com, host of Michigan's Big Show. And we can hear that show no matter where we are in the world, just like we're hearing the golf club. Tell us how we hear your show.
Oh, MIBigShow.com or the One Touch app, Michigan's Big Show, starring Michael Patrick Shields. You can go to TravelTattler.org or GoWorldTravel.com and just Google my name and you can get to all those places.
All those places.
And I'd be happy to see you there.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. I can't wait to talk to you about the Fairmont Grand Del Mar.
I can't wait to see you in person if we can sort out the sea to shining sea to island.
At the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. We'll be back after this. We're coming back with Ron Green. He's at the RBC Heritage. I think we're on 59 watch, maybe not. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club. Have you discovered Global Golf Post yet? Global Golf Post is the leading golf news publication in the game. It is a digital magazine. It's published very early Monday morning, delivered to your email inbox before you wake up. And in the pages of Global Golf Post, you will find all the news from the pro tours from the weekend, plus opinion and commentary from many of the best writers covering the game today. You can also read about the latest golf gear from the leading golf equipment brands. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii to sign up for your free subscription. You'll become the most informed golfer in your regular foursome. Go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii. Do it today. Yes, and you can do me a favor by doing it today and help the golf club stay. We are KORLYNI Honolulu. What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha Spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to HawaiiPain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
What do spalling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Stopped the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction 864-9520 now.
Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping and commercial centers, city and county projects have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. Update your facilities with the next generation of cost-saving products. We're COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. That's 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Seals Electric lights the way.
The golf club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. Now, back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring Ron Green into the clubhouse, senior writer and editor, Global Golf Post, award-winning golf journalist, including many first place awards from the Golf Writers Association of America. You know, I have six, Ron. I think it's 10. You know, I don't think I've updated my notes on you.
I think I've won about 8 of those things. I've been very fortunate, and it's been a while, but that just means I have to try harder.
Were you in medicine before you became a writer?
No, there was a time as a younger person, I considered being an orthopedic surgeon until I realized what you really had to do. And so now one of my very good friends is a longtime orthopedic surgeon who wishes he was a golf writer. I said, funny, I'm a golf writer who thought about doing what you do.
Well, there are a lot of guys on the tour that are dealing with orthopedic surgeons, and we watch all these swings that they're putting together, and you wonder how long their body's going to hold up. I'm looking at the RBC Heritage where you are at the leaderboard, and I'm looking and I'm saying, wait a second, Stuart Sink, 47 years old, 63. What's going on? Tell us, Ron.
Yeah, you look at that and you say, I want to have what he's having.
Yeah.
because whatever it is, it's working here. I mean, he won here twice, and it's been, 15, 18 years since he's done it. But, he's a really good story. We've had some 40-plus-year-old winners on the tour this season, and he got the first one at Safeway back in the fall. And he's just sort of found this other place now with his son Reagan on the back, and it just works beautifully. And now it'll be hard for him to repeat 63 again today, but you listen to him talk and you watch him, and he's at a place where a lot of guys sort of disappear. They get caught between the regular tour and waiting to turn 50 to get out and play in the Champions. But, I mean, Stuart's just rolling along, and he's so confident. He seems to play sort of uncomplicated golf. He eliminates a lot of the drama, or at least he has this week in particular. And it wouldn't shock me at all for him to just – I mean, somebody's going to have to go catch him. I don't think he's going to come back to anybody. And he just – he loves the place. He loves where he is in his life right now. And you listen to him and you watch him, and then he just looks like a guy in full control of what he's doing and where he wants to be right now.
It's wonderful. And it was interesting. I got a chance to listen to him talk a bit about the relationship he has with his son, Reagan. And apparently, I mean, they have a strategy. And Reagan seems to keep him mentally on track. Is that what he's doing?
I think they work really, really well together. And, yeah, he explained some of that about they plot out the night before sort of how they want to move around the golf course. Now, he has the advantage of he can really hit it where he's trying to hit it. A lot of us sort of have a strategy when we go out to play or stand on a tee, but we don't always hit it where we want to. He's much better at that. And I think it's worked for him. He shot 63 on Thursday. He started on the 10th hole, which is a tough par 4 with a big lagoon that's usually got a couple alligators in it on the left side. And he walked up there and just pulled the big dead yank hook into the water there, first swing of the morning, and said, I didn't really get that upset. I just realized I was just lackadaisical. I thought I could just step up and do it. So he said it sort of, his son used it like, all right, you got to pay attention on every one of these things. And suddenly he goes and shoots 63-63 from there. And so it was a nice learning lesson that they keep coming back to.
Yeah, and I think his son, too. You know how kids tend to infuse you with an energy? There's a dynamic that happens between someone Reagan's age and someone Stuart Sink's age, where you kind of pick up on the vitality of the young person with you, and that energy kind of carries you along. And you can really feed off that. And with Reagan saying, hey, you got to keep your focus, Dad.
Exactly. It works. Yeah, it's sort of organic, but his son's a scratch player. And as Stuart said, he's not just the caddy because he's my son. He said he could caddy for any player in the world. He's that good at what he does. And we know how the player-caddy dynamic works. And it's just giving them a comfort level. And then when they had the success last fall, it just sort of is like it's carried, and he's ridden this wave into here we are in the middle of April. And, he's putting on a display that, to this point anyway, unlike anything anybody's seen at Harbortown.
And it's wonderful. And Harbortown, I remember last year, Harbortown was quite the party. Is everybody celebrating?
It's, you know, it's nice to have fans back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a limited number. Around the island, it feels like spring break. It doesn't feel overcrowded. I think last year was sort of jarring when they played here in June, and you got here and you'd try to go to some places and realize there were so many people who were sort of forcing their vacation that time. Here it's busy and thriving, as anybody trying to get a restaurant reservation can tell you. But it feels more comfortable. It feels better now. I mean, there's still, if you're going to the golf course, you have to wear a mask. They have people standing around the golf course saying, please put your mask back up and all that. I think it's hard to believe that, 10 months since we were here in June, and you know, we're still going through it, and it's going to be a while longer. But, I mean, Hilton Head is in a great spot now. I mean, it's been, I first came down here just after it opened in the early 70s, and it's sort of like in a second golden age with the ownership group it has here. They've renovated two golf courses. They touched up Harbortown a while back. They got new clubhouses at both facilities and spending money, and it's just, they're so good that 2 days ago the forecast was for 65 degrees and an 80% chance of half an inch of rain. Instead, it's 72 with a light breeze and the sun is shining. So they got some pull.
We used to joke when it was raining in Waikiki, we'd say somebody forgot to make the payment at the Hawaii Visitors Bureau.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you mean when you say they've got some pull.
Yeah, turns out a perfect day. Part of what they do down here is Boeing is the presenting sponsor, and Boeing has a giant factory plant down in Charleston. And so every Saturday afternoon about 4 o'clock, they fly one of those 787 Dreamliners right down really low over the Calabogie Sound parallel to the 18th fairway and turn it up around the lighthouse and go a couple circles and sort of show off their big fancy plane. And it's a really cool thing. I mean, the players, everybody just stops and watch it, and they just buzz the golf course twice in a giant plane and then sort of make it look like a rocket. And it, you know, I think I'd like to be riding on it till I see him make the getaway, and he just turns it straight up in the air. I'm like, I'll let them go on without me.
Straight up in the air? No, I can't take the G's.
right.
Yeah, so Stuart Sink, the 47-year-old with his son Reagan on the back, I shot 63-63, 5-stroke lead over Corey Connors, the Canadian. 6 strokes back was Emilio Grillo. 7 back was Cameron Smith, Colin Morikawa, Sungjae Im, and Billy Horschel. So I think they've just teed off, finally, the final group with Corey Connors now 5 strokes back. It's just, who do you think is going to give him the biggest run? Is it, I mean, Colin? I don't know.
Yeah, it's that old case of, boy, it would be a really good golf tournament if Stuart Sink weren't in it, because you'd have all these guys. And he's sort of off in his own place. I'm interested to see what Colin Morikawa does today. I mean, Webb Simpson just finished. He shot 64 and jumped up the leaderboard. But he's finished at 10 under, and Sink starts at 16. And you figure he's going to tack on at least a couple more today, so it's going to leave him too far behind. But I think Morikawa, I mean, Corey Connors, he just keeps hitting fairways and greens and putting himself there. So I somebody is going to do something really low. As Wiedenhout was going that way till he double bogeyed the 14th hole earlier. So I think, I don't know, Morikawa or Sungjae Im, they're the two guys I'm watching. If somebody's going to go shoot 64 who's close to Sink, I think it's going to be one of those. And wouldn't it be interesting if Sink and Sungjae Im were in the final pairing tomorrow, because they live in the same neighborhood in Atlanta.
Wow, that would be. Now, is Sungjae Im the young man who never stops playing?
He stops occasionally to eat dinner, I think. But otherwise, he plays most weeks. It's not news when he plays, it's news when he doesn't.
Yes, it's like Sungjae Im is in the field. No kidding.
Yeah.
He's always in the field. And Wiesenhout, Christian, so he was, somebody said there was a 69 watch, or a 59 watch, rather. I just looked, he shot 69 yesterday. A 59 watch for him?
Well, I think maybe early he shot 30 on the front nine and made a couple other birdies, but then the 14th hole was a really great par three with the lagoon, and he made five there, and that sort of just threw water on all that, and so no worries about that.
Yeah, and that was the end of that. Yeah, it's always, I always think we shouldn't really do those 59 watches because, you know, it seems to just jinx them. We've got the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup, we all talk about the Olympics, but the Ryder Cup is coming up at Whistling Straits in Kohler, Wisconsin, in September. So far, we've got Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, and Brooks Koepka. Now, Brooks Koepka shouldn't be playing golf. Hopefully, he can by September, but I wonder if he'll drop out of the points. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it just depends on how soon he can get back. Obviously, he forced the issue trying to play Augusta and acknowledged it was really not easy, and he was bothered by it, and so he's taking a break right now, and I don't know how long it's going to last. I think if he can get back, he wants to be on that. I mean, and I think guys want Brooks Koepka there because he's such a tough guy, big moment kind of guy. Steve Stricker, in some ways, now that he has six captain's picks, I wonder if he'd rather just have one captain's pick.
Yes.
Because he's going to have so many guys to pick from. If he had it the other way, the decision could be made for him. But, I mean, even to the point we're talking about, will Zalatoris be a guy who they have to consider because he's played so well and, you know, he's had more top tens around the world the last 12 months than probably anybody.
I want to ask you a question about Will Zalatoris before you go on. Now, see, he doesn't have status on the tour. Is he accruing any points on that would qualify him to get in?
I think he's 23rd on the Ryder Cup points list right now. It's a quirky situation with him not having PGA Tour status because he would have gotten it by virtue of the Korn Ferry Tour had they done what they normally do and give out cards at the end of a season, but because they didn't play a full season last year with the pandemic, they rolled it over for another year, and yet he's qualified into some things. You know, he finished sixth at the U.S. Open when he got in there, and it's just sort of kept rolling, and now he's got unlimited sponsor exemptions on the tour. But unless he wins a tournament, just and I can get lost in the weave of all the rules, but unless he wins, he will not be eligible for the FedEx Cup playoffs because he will not have been a regular tour member, even though he might have been 30th in points.
Got it.
But he will be a regular tour. He will have his full tour privileges when the wraparound season, the next one, begins. But given what he's done, the chance of him winning a tournament between now and August when the playoffs start, I would not discount that at all because he's a sharp guy, fun to talk to, isn't overwhelmed by the moment or by what he's done, and just loves golf and loves just having fun. You know, as he said at Augusta, we kept asking him, are you nervous? Are you intimidated by where you are? He goes, I've been waiting 20 years to get here. Why am I going to get scared now?
That's exactly, I'm so glad you said that because I thought that was perfect. I mean, this is where I've wanted to be my whole life. So why would I be afraid?
You know, the old dog catching the car. Well, he caught it, and now he's going to do something with it.
Yeah, he is going to do something with it. It's really exciting. Jordan Spieth isn't that far away from doing something with it. I've got about 60 seconds. But, you know, what's up with Rory? That's another one.
Good question. I think Rory wants to know what's up with Rory. I know he's gone to work some with Pete Cowan, and he just at Augusta looked like a guy who he didn't know where it was going and sort of stood on tees wondering what was going to happen. I'm in some ways, it seems like he almost needs to just go be by himself for a while. Don't have anybody watch you. Just go down and hit balls and just do your best to go back to what it felt like as a kid and find it. I mean, it's in there. I just think, you know, we've seen guys for years they get caught up golf swing versus golf, and I think Rory has never been a terribly technical player, and I think he's trying to technically work out of some habits he got into that are inevitable, it seems like, for any player, and he's having trouble doing it. And I like what Pete Cowan told him, says don't try to be the player you were, but be the player you want to be going forward. And I think he'll get out of it sooner rather than later. I expect we'll see Rory again in a couple of weeks when they come to Charlotte for Wells Fargo, where I live, and he's had great success there. I think that will be a really interesting thing to see how he plays there, given how disappointing the Masters was.
Yeah, it was. And I was shocked, actually, and what you just said about, you know, he didn't seem to know where he was going at all. Absolutely. Ron Green, senior writer, Global Golf Post, thank you again for being on the show. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Enjoyed it. You have a good weekend. Thanks very much.
You too. Aloha. At Global Golf Post is the leading golf publication in the game. It's free. So go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii. All small. Show your support for the golf club. Sign up for the Global Golf Post. It only comes on Monday. It's a weekly publication. It'll be in your inbox when you wake up. The more signups, the more support the golf club gets from globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii is the place. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale continues until the store's empty. We put power at your fingertips for everything you need, including the Honda mower. It's on sale, Sand Island and Waipahu stores. Honolulu Sign, they do exterior building signs, real estate signs, lighting signs, parking signs, interior signs, signs of all kinds. That's Honolulu Sign. Hawaii Pain and Spine, Dr. Jonathan Carlson. Got pain? See Dr. Jonathan Carlson. Do something about it. Call Hawaii Pain and Spine. MD Restoration. Now, this is a number you should have someplace like right on the refrigerator. Flood or fire disasters, you need help right away. Right away. 24/7. When disaster strikes, call MD Restoration. 528-3434. RCM Construction, the 30-year leader in spalling repairs across Hawaii. Spalling, it destroys the strength of your structure. It's like the concrete is crumbling away and then the rebar starts rusting. That's not good. RCM Construction, they can fix it. And Sue's Electric, they've kept Hawaii's lights on, power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping center, commercial centers, city, state projects. Have your project done on time, on budget. It's Sue's Electric, lighting the way. And thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. We are RadioGolfClub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. Aloha.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.